Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 516. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Hold on, there's a fly here. No. I got it.
Supposed to leave it on your head. Just let it sit there for 2 minutes.
If I do, it'll give me COVID. I got to kill it as soon as possible.
Fair enough. Earl is here.
I'm not vulnerable, but sometimes I'm vulnerable. Not this one time, I'm not vulnerable. I'm just doing okay, having a night. So, it's just a thing. It's just a thing.
And Jeff has decided not to join us yet again. He is watching football, which is seems weird to me that Jeff would just be like, I'm going to go watch some football. But Walt has stepped in to fill in for him.
The designated hitter is back. Anytime anyone's absent, I step into the plate. I strike out most of the times. But I feel like today, I'm going to get hit by the ball and get a free base. That's what I feel like.
Plus, your football team is terrible, so you wouldn't want to spend any time watching them.
Yes, and the Marlins got swept, I believe, tonight.
They did.
And the Heat are the blink of elimination. But it's all good. I don't know if you guys heard, but Florida solved the pandemic.
Yep,
they did.
Our governor opened up sporting events for full capacity. It's over, guys. We did it. I'm sorry for the rest of you guys who are still suffering. We are good.
Unfortunately, the Miami Dolphins don't necessarily agree that Florida solved the pandemic because they're going to stay to 13,000 fans.
It's just still a lot of people.
Right. But it's so far more than you should have in one place.
Yeah, I think Hard Rock seats like 75,000. So.
Yeah. That's one stadium that you can't spread out the 13 safely,
Yeah, I think it was it might have been the Bucks game last week. They had fans in the stands, and they were pretty spread out. I still wouldn't feel comfortable, but
that would go.
I feel like that feels even worse when it's kind of like seeing old games, the Marlins are not a really great baseball team. Like, you go there, and, you have, five people in the first row, and, nobody can, the next 10 row. It's just so weird when people aren't, condensed in a sporting arena, because it's not made for people to sit everywhere.
Yeah, and there's no energy. it's very weird watching these, quarter-filled stadiums.
I think the sound is the weirdest part to me. They're pumping in crowd noise into empty stadiums, and it just looks so weird.
Yeah. It's just, this year's a wash. Just admit it, it's a wash. We screwed up, right? We had those 2 months where we were delayed. And then we had those other 2 months to try and salvage the rest of the year. But we fucked it up. It's a wash. We should just take it for what it is,
Yep. Yeah. And it looks like the Titans game is again going to be delayed.
Yep.
They're not going to play it in 2 weeks.
The NFL doesn't do the bubble thing, right? They're just traveling.
Yeah, you travel to the.
They are bubbled when they travel, though. At that point, they are.
But, you're traveling via plane, you're interacting with people. And the worst part, apparently, is even if you have positive COVID tests, that doesn't mean the games are canceled.
Insane, man.
Yeah, because the Patriots had positive tests, right? And they postponed to Monday, which
isn't much. I mean, it was a test on Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, I think they're relying on those rapid tests that they just do it until they get a negative, and they're like, "Oh, we're good."
I think the Titans are up to 20 people or something have tested positive. That's not good.
Man.
Anyway, we talk about video games sometimes.
Do we, though?
If there's stuff to talk about with video games.
Yeah, there's really not a whole lot to talk about with video games, but what have you guys been playing?
It's the calm before the storm, the new console storm.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we did have the PlayStation 5 breakdown.
That did happen, yeah.
I was impressed and also kind of, concerned. Because the expansion bay takes some action to get in there, right? To get the expansion. And then when you factor in, it's not specific on the SSD it takes, but if it's the same as the Xbox, which is the high speed available, dude, that's a minimum of $200 to expand your memory.
I guess Western Digital today announced their PlayStation Ready NVMe, and it is $10 more than the Xbox Series X.
260 then?
I think the Xbox Series X one is what, 210, 230?
I thought it was 250. I can double check for you right now. Give me one second. Yeah.
It's whatever it is. It's like $10 more. So it's expensive, but those drives are expensive too, though. So
yeah, you're right. It's 219, 220.
Yeah, so I think that new one is the 230 then.
Yeah.
The one that the WD is saying is for the PlayStation 5. I don't know. I watched a video of some guy talking about the NVMe's today, and I have zero confidence that I would want to rip out the drive on a PlayStation 5 and replace it myself.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah.
No. I do like how they were practical and they put that dust collector now. There's a dust collector area that you can just kind of put a vacuum to it and suck all the dust off.
Yeah.
That's really smart. I like how the plates are so easily replaceable because it looks like it's by design. So they're probably going to sell plates, you know?
Yeah.
Plates.
Like as soon as black plates come out.
Yeah.
I think exactly. I'll be buying them. And I think it'll look, I'm not a fan of the white ones. I know people are, but I think some black plates on that, put it underneath my system and it'll kind of fade into the background.
Yeah. I like how it has that built-in stand that comes off and it has self-storage for the screws. Mm-hmm. That's a nice touch, you know? There's a lot of nice touches on that thing that kind of feel like it spent more time in design than the Xbox. I think Xbox One is just hey, let's just make a powerful ass machine that makes sense money wise. You know what I mean? And you can kind of tell Sony threw everything at it in the R&D department there. Their liquid metal on the CPU, that's a nice touch. I didn't expect that in a console. I don't know if you guys caught that in the breakdown. Yeah. And apparently, they spent a significant amount of time developing just the perfect one. It looks like they actually wanted to make sure that their console didn't sound like a jet taking off this time around.
Some of us are going to miss that. Some of us are going to miss having our apartment sound like JFK when you're trying to get out of war or something.
I mean, yeah. Once I put my headset on, I can't hear it anymore anyway, so what does it matter?
I mean, you can feel it, though. That thing puts up some heat. The PlayStation, I guess, I don't know if I ever said it on the podcast, but you guys know I haven't had a PlayStation 4 for a while because I've had two burn out on me. So those things puts up some significant heat and just... And I've had it out. It's not in the bookshelf. It's out. It's just, I don't know. I just had really bad luck this generation. And so I'm kind of, that stood out for me. The fact that they put such a big heat sink. It's all flow. It's all about air and circulation and stuff. And when he took the fan out, that's a significant fan. I don't know if you guys saw when he took that fan out. Dude, that's a heavy-duty fan they put in that thing.
Which is good. I mean, provided that fan isn't very audible.
It shouldn't be, because again, it's like the problem comes with the smaller ones that used to be I guess two, three generations ago when building PCs, they're only so good until the bearings start to go, right? And it looks like those bigger ones, just bigger bearings, is just last longer. You know what I mean? Less friction on friction on the contact points because it's just a bigger thing, so it looks like, I don't know, again, they haven't sent them out like Xbox did. They sent them out to a bunch of tech people already, like working prototypes, so I'm interested to see if anyone out there has it. I don't know anyone has it to this point, so they can be like, yeah, we had it running for 10 hours and we couldn't hear it. I would love to hear that,
yeah. And I mean, I want to see what the dashboard looks like, and I know that that's probably really not a big deal to a lot of people, but I'm not a fan of the PlayStation 4 dashboard at all.
It's the worst part.
It is. Oh, and we should note also that they showed they briefly in that video they pointed out to the new Wi-Fi card, and the Wi-Fi that's built into this one's significantly better. It's the latest one. So if you bought a router within the last 2 years, you'd be able to have like that nice locked in secure high speed connection that doesn't throttle up and down if you connect to your PS5. Which hopefully that means PSN download speeds and all that stuff are actually going to be, you know, worthwhile this generation.
I hope so, but I have my PlayStation 4 hardwired and those download speeds are atrocious. So
yeah, I think that's by design. That's just the limitation, right? So I'm hoping that the next one, they address that. It looks like they're addressing a lot of the flaws, right? Like I've heard the UI is significantly better. It's a lot faster. You know,
but nobody seen the UI yet, right?
Publicly, no. But I know people who've seen a working demo.
Okay.
You get me? And yeah. It's significantly faster. It's cleaner. It's modernized, meaning everything's minimized. And like just from the working demo. They went from the UI to the PlayStation Store, and it was almost instant. It wasn't like the current one, where it's like fades in, fades out, and then things start populating and popping into place. Everything just kind of seemed instant on the fly. But I think Xbox already showed that off too. They have that ability to kind of like instant load on their pages, especially like landing pages for like their store. You know, so just based on that. It's going to feel next gen. You know what I mean? It's going to feel like, holy crap, this feels like a leap forward. Look how fast everything works now. You know?
Yeah, that's the big thing that they, you know, all those Microsoft kind of showcases that the journalists have been showing is like how fast games load, how fast switching between games loads. Like, yeah. It's all super impressive.
Yeah, and that was the thing we were talking about privately, like, what's the selling point for these things? And I always knew in the back of my mind, because, again, I've had some connections from my past, right? And I'm like, oh, they have enough. They just don't want to talk about it for some reason, you know?
I'm still not sure that for us, maybe, like, the faster loading is super impressive. I'm not sure if that's a giant selling point for, yeah.
I think there are certain selling points that are for the diehards, and everybody was like, "Oh man, we're gonna get 4K and 60 frames per second," and then already we're getting games that are ports of this gen titles, which are like, "Oh, we're aiming for 30 frames per second and 2K," and I'm like, "Yeah, it's the same problems you got that the sort of last generation is that like the point is it can do it. Companies aren't gonna aim for it. It's never been a tech issue. It's always been a I can make a really pretty looking game, or I can make it run smooth and looking pretty itself better.
I can already tell you what's going to hit that 4K 60 frame. It's going to be this current generation games being upscaled. That's what's going to hit it. Like next gen games are not going to hit it. Like maybe Cyberpunk in a year when they drop a patch, you know, might unlock it and hit, but like, stuff that's coming out, like even Spider-Man, I doubt that hits 60 frames of 4K. You know?
Have they said what Miles is gonna run at?
No, they haven't dropped
it. I don't believe so. No.
But all that information, that's the worst part, right? All that information is gonna drop a week before the consoles hit the market. You know, there's gonna be very little time to like filter this information out.
It doesn't even matter though. The consoles are already sold out.
So yeah.
At this point, we'll get it when we get it, and we'll deal with it, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But like, eventually they will get to it, right? Because they'll be able to maximize the shit out of the hardware better and better as time goes on. But like, even I don't feel 4K gaming is a practical selling point, because most people are going to be like, look at AMD, right? Today they released all their new GPUs, and they're like, yeah, we'll be the king of 1080p gaming. Like, why the hell not? Most people put a game on 1080p still, you know? It's the fact that they're future-proof and, you know, people can upgrade as they go along. I think that's going to be the console. Not that many people have a 4K TV that's going to be able to do 60 frames per second. Most 4K TVs they have do 2K up you know, upscaling at 30 frames.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, ultimately, most people don't care. Like, and, you know, like, it's, and this isn't a video game thing. It's like, you're going to get sales for it. People aren't invested in 4K because they don't understand what you're trying to sell me. Yeah. Where, like, I mean, even if you would go and see the difference between, like, 720p and 1080p, most people wouldn't care. It's HD or it's not HD. I mean, for most people, like, my mom used to be this way, and she still is. Like, for them, does it fill the screen? Okay, we're good. That's all they want to know. They don't care if it's, like, you can fill the screen and be pictured as well. As long as it doesn't have black bars around it, that is what she wanted.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, that was my takeaway from tech. It's like, there are people like us who was like, you know, like, okay, I have a 4K HDR TV, and I know, like, the problem with HDR really is that you have to configure it so much with everything, because everything's slightly different. The Xbox runs HDR differently than my PlayStation runs it. My TV natively runs it differently than everything else does. Then not everything streams in 4K because it's such a bandwidth sink. So it's a good thing to have to future proof, but for most people, it's going to be like, it's honestly going to be the opposite, where it's going to be like, why is it so washed out and grainy? Because I haven't actually calibrated my TV for it.
That's why I feel like the load times and the UI speeds are gonna be like an easier selling point, which I don't understand why both companies have stayed quiet on for so long. That should have been the first thing. You know what I mean? It's like, this is powerful. Let us show you how the dramatic difference for you guys next gen. You know?
It's like, I don't think that the average person playing Madden or Call of Duty gives a shit if it takes 45 seconds to load or 15 seconds. Because they're still waiting in a queue to play the match.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people who play, but the devil's advocate, right? People who play Monster Hunter, it's a significant improvement.
Oh, sure. That's like
significant
that.
Significant improvement.
Like, Tony, were you the one that showed that video? Of,
it might have been Walt, but I definitely, like, that was stunning. Like,
yeah, the Monster Hunter on the three different Xboxes.
Yeah.
Yes. The one that took, like, over 2 minutes.
So, yeah. To be fair, the people who play Monster Hunter are also broken and used to kind of crumble some system.
This is true.
Yeah, but so, this is pretty significant. Like, it's like buying a new PC, right? When you build a PC, you don't play the modern shit. You go back and play the games you played in your old crappy PCs to see how better it got, right? I think a lot of people are going to do that on the first bump of the release of the thing. Everyone's going to be like, oh shit, you see how Bloodborne runs, Monster Hunter runs, Metal Gear, you know, all that stuff, all these games that they spend time with. It's going to feel new because it's going to be almost instant. Especially people who are like getting to Spider-Man, because apparently Spider-Man was like what they used for the benchmark to show how much faster it loads and how there's very tearing. They were able to eliminate tear in the city. Like it's just unlimited draw distance and everything just from the PS4 version of Spider-Man.
It'll be interesting to see how that all gets taken in by the fans. So
yeah, I imagine it's gonna vary, right? It's gonna be like the casual to the like the trend. People buy into the trend. I need to have the latest shit to like the hardcore fans, right? It's all gonna vary.
Yep. Was there any other news?
We've joked before on like having quiet weeks. This was a really quiet week, and I really do think it's just like the calm before the storm, as others said. I mean, I guess we had the news of Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate coming out, which also, if you have Mortal Kombat 11 on PlayStation 4,
is it Rambo tomorrow. In it? Rambo,
yeah, Rambo.
Rambo got announced. Yeah. RoboCop's in it too. Terminator's in it. Predators in it.
Yeah. Bugsnack had some impressions today. I guess people are into that.
And that went gold too, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, Cyberpunk went gold. That was announced earlier this week.
Yep.
That was his own little thing that we're not gonna get into. Yeah.
That's exciting. That's exciting. I don't care. If we get to play
it
next.
Oh, it's not even that. It was like
there was some drama around that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know this. They broke the rule of not making him work too hard or too many days.
Shocker.
Yeah. Well, then there was some drama around some other people
with some personalities involved. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. wasn't aware.
I don't care enough about it to actually dig into this. But I guess the PlayStation Trophy system's changed.
Oh yes.
I need to look at what my new level is.
It's significant. Oh, you guys should check. I'm like 200 something. It jumped up, man.
Yeah. So that now I guess the hard cap before was 100. They've upgraded it to 999. They've given new values to the trophy. So like, gaining a bronze trophy and a gold trophy, you know, there's a difference in them, and a platinum trophy now is worth much more. So yeah, if you were, I think they said if you were like level 12 or 13, you would jump into the 200s when the new system went into place.
I think I was a 15 by my memory, and I'm 270 now.
Nice.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means, but yeah, it does seem like it's a change. I will be honest, I didn't understand the old system, which is why I don't care about the new system.
I thought it was just random war. I didn't realize there were points involved. I thought it was just random.
Gamer score still makes more sense.
It does. It's a linear number that increases with everything you get. That makes sense to me. I got 2, and it goes up by 2. This is like if you get a platinum, you get this. That's too much work.
Yeah, if I have the breakdown here. I have the breakdown for you guys.
I'm at 187, apparently. I don't know what that means, but I'm at 187.
I don't know. It doesn't really mean anything.
It's one of those things where, like, it's a big but small number that it doesn't mean much. Where, like, at least with the achievement, like, the number just gets, like, you see somebody with 100,000 achievement points, like, we have way too much free time on their hand. But that's a number you understand. I have 187. I don't know if that means I'm good or medium or weak or whatever. Just like eyeballing some of my other friends that have 254, 226, 308, 261, 179, 12, 155. I don't know where. I don't know if we're on the lower end of the spectrum or not.
Let me confuse everyone now, because I have to add you new value systems. Bronze level can net you between 1 to 299 points.
So is that even the same point value?
Yeah, it's point value. It's up to, because here's the breakdown within bronze. 1 to 99 could be an entry level bronze. A middle point bronze is 100 to 199, and a top tier bronze is 200 to 299.
There are different levels of bronze, so I can't.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And, so it still makes zero sense.
Right. And then it continues to silver. 300 to 599, the breakdown being 300 to 399, 400 to 499, and 500 to 599.
Well, okay, that's what you're. Okay. No, I
599. Are you out of your mind?
It's not.
What is your overall score based off of then?
That is your overall score. So,
that is your overall. So let's say you platinum a game, right? You're gonna get the value for all the bronzes, all the silvers you earn, and all the golds plus 999 points for the platinum.
Okay. But how does that go into the overall score?
I think that chart is that's how their tiers now go.
Yeah.
So those are your levels that you gain.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think a platinum is worth 999. I think that the platinum is like if you hit 999, you are a platinum PlayStation gamer.
I thought this was the breakdown of the bronze.
That's not the breakdown of the points. So like there are different levels of levels. Like so there's like bronze one, it's like a ranking system, right? Like bronze one, bronze two, bronze three.
Again, this is extremely confusing. I'm reading the blog and it threw me completely off. I have no idea.
This needs more confusing than what it was before. Because I'm looking at my breakdown now. You get a total value point. So my total is 731. I have no idea where that comes from, because the score that you will see is 187.
Yeah,
which it says 50%. I don't know 50% of what. I guess 50% of the way to 188. I have one platinum, which is Spider-Man. It was the easiest platinum to get in the world. I have 14 golds, 101 silvers, 615 bronze, which I guess means that I have 731 trophies in total. How does that then translate to 187 that they are spitting out to show people?
No, Chris, I think you're wrong. I just looked at my trophies and I clicked on my profile and it says I have 270 trophies. Okay, 3 silver, gold, whatever. Breakdown and it says total amount of points, 2,324 points.
So
and it breaks it. And it breaks down.
Still makes zero sense.
So basically, you take the cosine of the number of platinum trophies you have and divide that by the quadratic equation underneath the Pythagorean theorem, and it gives you a number magically.
It's extremely confusing. I think
it's like the same system they use to get a quarterback's rating in the NFL.
So according to this breakdown,
it's well understood as that.
Awesome.
According to this breakdown, okay, I've earned 3 platinums, 74 gold trophies, 358 silver, and 1,889 bronze, totaling 2,324 points, which makes me level 270.
This entire conversation has made me open another beer. I'm like, I can't. I need to wipe this from my brain. This is
We're proving a point. They made it work.
I was about to say, we're proving a point that somehow this new system is more confusing than the old system, which didn't make any sense to begin with. But now we have a bunch of numbers that nobody understands what they mean, except the Yakaya now.
It's insanity, dude. I have no idea what it is.
I guarantee it's they're looking at the gamer score. They're like, God, they have people at like 200,000. We need people like that. Let's find a way to make the numbers bigger. That's exactly what they did. They're comparing the two system. They're like, people are so excited to be breaking like 100K in gamer score. Yeah, level 19 does not sound nearly as exciting. Let's make the numbers bigger. That's what they did. And they just found ways to do that.
It's confusing as hell. Like, I finally figured it out until I saw my breakdown. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
you know?
Because I'm looking at it and it breaks it down for me. And I'm like, okay, this point value doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know what you divide 731 to get 187 by that would make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
So if they assigned it a point value and then. Like, I mean, that would essentially be achievements. That would make sense to me. Like, platinums are like always worth 999 points. Sure, go with that. But this system does not make any sense to me whatsoever. I don't need a math degree to figure out video games.
Apparently you do.
If you play on PlayStation, you do. Exactly.
That's why you're on that little boat going over the waterfall. It's you've broken the horizons of math. You're trying to reach a new understanding of math.
It's crazy, dude.
If you can count all those ships flying around you in the ad, you're golden. You'll understand this trophy system.
It's crazy.
You don't have to understand that commercial, which I still think is a terrible commercial, but whatever. Like, I'm old school. I make my commercials to advertise a product, not a concept of something.
If they would have given me the money for commercials, I would have been like, okay, easy. How fast can you load Monster Hunter? We have a 30-second spot. Let's go. You know, that's it. It's that simple. It's like, all games will feel new. How? Look how quickly you can get to them.
Okay, I mean, just to kind of be reductive, and I know everybody loves the Dreamcast, but the Dreamcast launch commercial still remains kind of the epitome of how you do commercials for video game console launches. It gave you this big party of a bunch of different characters that you're going to see over the next year. And then you get individual commercials based off of that. Sony has no idea how to launch commercials. We had that creepy baby one for the PlayStation 3. I don't even remember what the PlayStation 4 was. This one with the like the Horizon thing. Like, there are ways to tie that in if you had a ship game or something. That was just dumb. Nintendo had the weird cube people for the GameCube. I honestly don't remember the Wii U. I think they did a great job with the Wii and the Switch. The Wii had the little Asian men saying we would like you to pay. Very simple, very straightforward. Microsoft, was it? No. The Xbox 360 rebrands to jump in, right?
I believe so, yeah.
What was their original pitch?
The original Xbox?
Like the original Xbox 360 commercial pitch.
We got Halo.
Yeah, it was a lot of,
You didn't have Halo at launch, though.
No, they did not.
Lots of
not
Gears. Really. Actually, I think they showed off Gears, didn't they?
For the original Xbox.
For Xbox 360.
Yeah.
For the original Xbox, it was all Halo, yeah.
I mean, Gears came out a year later. So I don't know what that was. A Perfect Dark, and I don't remember what their pitch was for the system. Gears came out right at the end of year one.
Yes. But yes, I mean, my point is, like, Sony's always been, like, they are the market leader. They've been the market leader for the better part of 20 years now. But their marketing for launch has just always been so dreadfully obtuse to me. And I honestly feel like they're associated with big franchises more than anything. Like, outside of, like, the Kevin from Sony, like, most of their ads are just... It's like somebody's given a budget and given no... Like, given free range to whatever they want. But it's like an art student making their senior thesis or something.
It's, you get somebody out there going, like, well... I know we're supposed to be advertising for the PlayStation 3, but what if we did PlayStation 9?
Yes. Oh, that was the PlayStation. Was that the PlayStation 2 launch?
No, I thought that was around 3.
Okay.
And PlayStation 4, I think, was a little bit better. It was those worlds of play where they had people in the real world, but they were experiencing the game worlds. It wasn't terrible. It obviously did not terrible. Impact you at all. You did not remember it, so.
No.
It happens. It happens. Yeah. But, yeah.
I remember the, and it wasn't maybe at launch, but shortly after launch, Microsoft had a great commercial that featured the Titan from Titanfall.
Yeah,
coming up to like the office building. I thought that was pretty cool.
I might just look up this tomorrow just to see some of these launch commercials. Because there are some that kill you stay with me, and then others, Sony's crying baby, that stay with me for the wrong reason.
It haunted your dreams.
I randomly went down the rabbit hole here, and apparently I earned a platinum for God of War, the remake on the PS3, Bloodborne, and one of the Walking Deads. I don't know what that says about me.
I mean, Walking Dead is probably easy, right?
Yeah, you just gotta finish it.
Yeah.
The original God of War getting trophies, that was a bitch. The Olympic Trials? Good lord.
What the, I have two platinums. I don't know what they were for.
I only have one, Ghost of Tsushima.
What?
Oh, Spider-Man and Days Gone.
Yeah, like I said, Spider-Man was just a super easy one. Like, right.
It was Ghost of Tsushima. If you played through the story and like really enjoyed it, you were super pretty close much on everything.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man, I was like 92% of the way done when I finished the game. I'm like, at this point, like most of them are almost done. I might as well just push it over the edge. Though I heard they added some of the DLC, I'm like, I'm not looking into that. I got my one platinum. I'm
done.
I'm in that.
My Spider-Man completion percentage says 62%, but I have the platinum on it. So
what? Oh,
because they added all those DLC trophies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was pretty much news for the week.
Yeah. So. What have you guys been playing? I know that three of us have played a new game.
Pew pew.
Anybody play anything else besides Star Wars?
Doom Eternal on the Game Pass.
Yeah.
How was that?
How's it working out for you?
I really like it. Technically, it's a fantastic shooter. Like, holy crap, that game is so optimized. You know, that's one game I know for sure they're going to somehow make it 4K 60 frames, you know, and they actually improve it with HDR and all that stuff. I know for sure. The game itself is brutal, dude. It doesn't give you a chance to like catch your breath very often, you know. You're constantly making, it's like you're making combos to kill stuff, to keep going, to keep reloading, to keep your health up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it gets tiring, but like, I'm not marathoning through it. I'm just like visiting it, you know, every other night for a couple hours. It feels fresh and it feels awesome. And when you get through like stages and fighting pits and stuff like that, like you feel like a badass, you know?
I'll be interested to hear how you feel about like the later levels where it's where you're not able to get as much health back. And well,
as long as you have like minions around, you just got to chainsaw them, and you're good with ammo and health. You just got to buy. You gotta get the right rune, you know, or the right ability unlocked.
You will come across. There's a pair of enemies that show up later in the game, that are super annoying and will eat up your health. As you're trying to fight them, and you won't get those minions as often.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. And then there's some platforming that really requires some precision.
I already ran into a couple of those, but I'm still very impressed. I'm very impressed with what they're able to put together for such a. Because let's face it, Doom doesn't really have a lot of story, you know.
This one does.
This one, they throw in a lot, and I'm like, what? You know, it's like, I'm a who? All of a sudden you're a slayer. They experimented on you. They saved you to be their own gladiator. You turn on them, and it just twists and turns, man. Twists and turns, you know?
It's a fun game. I'm glad it's on Game Pass now. It's like, people can kind of poke around. I am disappointed in the multiplayer with that game, though.
I'm not even going to try it. I just know those type of games are just, you know what I mean? It's a single player experience. You know what I mean? I don't see how you can make Doom work as a multiplayer.
I mean, Doom did work as multiplayer. Like, I mean, it was one of the earlier first person arena shooter games. Like, but they did not go that route with this. It's a weird, 1v2, I think, where the other people, they play as demons. You can pick a different enemy, and you fight against the Doom Slayer. And every time I played it, the Doom Slayer lost, regardless of whether I was the Doom Slayer or whether I was playing as the demons. I never saw the Doom Slayer win. It was weird. It's not a great mode.
Yeah, but I can see that.
Keep enjoying that.
I think it's a great game. I think anyone should. If you have a console, you definitely want to try it. It's just for how technically impressive it is. You gotta give it a shot.
Have they added any more of the Bethesda games to Game Pass yet?
Not yet. I don't think. But I believe all the Fallouts are still there.
Yeah, all the big ones were there already. I don't know that there was a whole lot to throw in there. Is the Dishonored games, are they in there yet?
They were before, but I think Dishonored 2 was supposed to be leaving.
No, it's still there. I downloaded that too, and I played the tutorial, and it's night and day. One's like, you're this speedy badass, you get around anywhere, and the other one's like, let me show you how to jump properly. You know what I mean? It's very like, What did we call it the other night, Tony? I forgot what we called it. Like a shooting sim, you know, where it's more like, I don't know. Like, I guess if you've been playing games for a long time, you remember that Thief series?
Yeah, I mean that's what that game is kind of modeled after.
Yeah, it's like that. So it's like I couldn't get into it after playing Doom, you know, and playing Apex to go to that kind of like. Crawling kind of shooter, just oh man, I couldn't do it.
It's so hard. It makes you sleepy. You're like I want to play a game, and I'm just kind of like in the shadows waiting. This is not fun.
It's a first person stealth type game. So
yeah. Even Assassin's Creed's not like that anymore. You know, the stealth is so much faster now. You know, so
well, I mean, there almost is no stealth in Assassin's Creed anymore. Like you just go kill shit.
As long as you kill stuff from behind, they call it stealth. You know?
Oh, you got there. You were able to assassinate him.
Good job.
And then they see you, and you're like, oh, I'll kill these 20 guys who just saw me. Sorry, hold on. Give me a minute.
And they still give you credit, right?
So, that's right.
But it's definitely, I don't know, it's different. So I had like a weird palette in this week in games. I had to just walk away from Dishonored 2, although I hear it's a fantastic game. Just doesn't make sense right now for me, you know?
Yeah, finish Doom, come back to it later.
Yeah, much later.
Earl, you play anything this week?
I don't think anything new. Yeah, I've... Oh my gosh, I can't tell what this week has been. No, it pretty much it's more Mario.
Didn't I see you playing Hades?
No, I want Hades. I am just too cheap because I missed it on sale when it was $20, and I'm not paying $25 when I could have saved $5 a week ago.
How dare you?
It'll be on sale again.
You should pay the five extra dollars because you missed it.
It's such a good Switch game. It's such a good Switch game. I gotta tell you, it's so good.
Yeah, I wanna, and I meant to play the Pikmin 3 demo for this podcast, but time got away from me.
So yeah. Do you have a history with Pikmin, Earl?
I played the first Pikmin. You know, like any Nintendo kid on the GameCube, there were like four games that Nintendo launched in the first 6 months: Pikmin, Luigi's Mansion, Smash Brothers Melee, and Wave Race Brewstorm. And I thought, you know, Pikmin's new IP, it seemed exciting. I didn't really get into it. It's a weird kind of RTS type game where you're trying to manage these creatures. You have this hard deadline, because like if they're out after nightfall, they all die anyhow. So you have to get stuff done during the day. Yeah, so that was my only experience with it, and then I've never tried anything else. So I know Pikmin 3 was on the Wii U, but I didn't pick that up either. So I'm like, oh, I'm curious to see. So I know 2 got rid of the deadline, and 3 kind of manages 2. So I'm kind of curious to see how that works. And it has that interesting co-op gameplay where you split between 2 different characters. So you're managing them, managing the Pikmin as well. So we'll see. Hopefully, I downloaded it. I just did not get a chance to play it today.
Is that also a $60 release?
I believe so.
Anyway.
Hey, what is in the $60 release on the Switch? You know,
I mean, Nintendo's got to make their money. And the sad thing is, people will buy it. I mean, it says the guy who's waiting to pre-order $100 Mario Kart Live.
I mean, the other day,
it, but
the other day, like I think was it Chris laughed at me in our DM group when I was like, "Hey guys, you've seen Link's Awakening on sale?" He's like, "Ha, good luck."
Yeah, they don't really drop. I mean, I think I did see it for $49.99 once.
Yeah, and even that, like, you see it and they're going, man, but it's like it's still $50. But mm-hmm. You're like, oh, it's on sale, I'm gonna get it. Because yeah, there's a few that's been on sale for like $45-$50 recently, and I'm just like, wait, I already have that, or I'm not interested in getting it, but I do kind of want to buy it because it's cheap. For Nintendo.
And it's crazy because I don't know if Nintendo's only doing like limited runs of their physical carts, but like finding copies of that or Hyrule Warriors, like finding a new copy of that, it's like 60, 70, in some cases $80 for some of those games. It's like, it's crazy.
Weird, because like, nice. I got Hyrule Warriors, I think, when it was on sale for $30, and I wonder if it was people trying to burn off inventory for it.
Yeah, now it seems really difficult. So
it almost seems better to do the buy the Nintendo points and Newegg when they put them on sale. You know, like $10 off, whatever, for normal price, whatever, and buying in that sense, you kind of save more money that way.
Yeah, because then you also get the money back for buying. Like, you get, what is it?
Yeah.
It's like 5% back for digital games. So, yeah, that's what I do. I either do Newegg or Raze.com. And Raze usually has it for like between like 8% off. And then sometimes you can get cash back on that as well. So, anyway, I can, like I said, I'm a cheap bastard. So, like, finding ways to save money.
It's an expensive hobby. You gotta save money somehow.
Yeah, it can get really expensive. Tony, you play anything besides Star Wars this week?
I mean, the usual. Walt and I played a ton of Apex Legends.
Yes. Game of the year.
Game of the year. Game of the year 2020. Get ready, Chris. Get ready.
No. You're gonna have that's gonna be a hard fight.
They adjusted my mains run. It made me sad.
I heard Wraith has been adjusted. They nerfed her a bit, huh?
I mean, I haven't actually noticed yet. Like, it hasn't affected anything that I've done, but
yeah. She
definitely looks different, like running around. Which, you know, but I'm like, so used to like the new Roto, bend over, arms back, iconic.
Yeah, and now she looks like she pulled a hamstring trying to do the Naruto run. You know, and she's just running straight up like, I'm fine, guys. I'm fine. I'm not aging.
I'm glad I can't see it when I'm doing it. I'm just really glad. it just looked wrong.
Let's see. Aside from Squadrons, I played more Mario 35, just like Earl did. I still have not won, and I think my time to win has passed.
Yeah, that's good now. I got second place once, and that was it. I was like, that's it. I peaked.
Yeah, I'm still ending up in, like, the top five, but matches are going on now. Yeah.
It seems like people are good in their strats now. I've seen a video where, like, somebody was able to get a Koopa shell, like, near the beginning of the stage, between a pipe and a stick, and, like, all the enemies that were spawning would just walk down to that level and just get knocked out. So you're like constantly getting time and then sending enemies back, which other people are then getting and sending back to you. Which
makes
it cycle. What if people always break shit? I can stand that, dude. Just play the game.
So like I there have been multiple games where I have like 400, like the most time you can get is 400. Which is still over 5 minutes, right?
Yeah,
it's over 6 minutes actually.
So I mean that it's kind of iffy because at times it's time does speed up.
Yeah, it seems once you get down to under five.
Yeah.
But even there, like I'm still able to kind of hold it at 400, and then I don't know, like I'm still trying to progress through the level, but I see people just standing. This sucks.
Dude. It's rough.
I'm sure
they introduce a patch for those people who standing still to get like the camera will start moving on their own, you know, or something, you know.
I feel like they should create alternate win states in the final five so that you can like you could play that way, but like maybe like if this person is able to defeat like if you're able to defeat like 10 levels in a row or something like that, you'd also win. So that you have, because like at some point it does make more sense to play defensively than it would be to play offensively. That may not
or
necessarily
maybe,
be a good thing.
Or introduce like a limited edition like Gold Rush mode, right? It's whoever collects the most coins wins.
Yeah.
I could see that. I do think that like the eliminations are a little random. Like, you know, like, I don't know. I don't feel like I know when I'm eliminating someone. Like, I don't feel like I've actually done it. And that increases your coin count.
Yeah.
Because you take their coins if you do eliminate them. So, like, sometimes I'll just look down and all of a sudden I'll have like 100 and some coins. Like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's fun. I mean, there is an element of it. But for the company that has bought us Mario Kart and Mario Party, I'm surprised there aren't more random elements thrown into this game to really kind of spice things up for people.
You want you want a blue shell in this game? That's what you're telling me?
I'm saying like you want something where it's like if you know like the roulette wheel, if you could get an item that would like, you know, make it so like you can kill enemies but it wouldn't go to somebody else's screen, or like you know, like all the enemies on the screen would disappear, so you can like screw somebody over who has time or something like that. Because I think we talked about it last week. Like, if somebody has the most time, you don't really want to send more enemies towards them.
Right.
You probably want to send it to the person who has like the least amount of coins.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's fun. It's just I think people have, as you said, are all like they found their high level strategies. And that's how they're going with it. I do like that there's the challenge, the daily challenges, so at least gives me a reason to jump in and kind of poke at it. And it'll only be here till March. So, other thing I played is a little indie platformer called Projection First Light.
I was hoping you'd say a little indie platformer called Mario Galaxy or something like that.
I beat Mario Galaxy. I think we talked about that last week, though. And I beat I also finished. I played Mario 3 and Super Mario All Stars.
I've never heard of that. What is that?
Such a fascinating game. this thing, Projection First Light. I got an email saying, "Hey, you know, it's out on PlayStation 4, Xbox, and PC. Do you want a review copy?" I was like, "It looks cool," so I got a copy of it, and it's cool. It started out as an Apple Arcade game, so I guess I don't know if it was touch. Like, I guess it was touch based because you played on an iPhone, but they've converted it to controllers, and you use this little light thing to create shadows, and that creates the platforms that you can jump on. So you're kind of moving this little shadow puppet girl through environments where you're creating the platforms and trying to avoid other obstacles to get to the end. It's pretty cool. It's beefier than I thought. I started off and it started dropping achievement points on me, and I was like, shit, this is going to be over in like an hour and a half, 2 hours, but I'm now 4 hours into it and still going. So I think it's cheap. I think it's like $15 or something. So if you're looking for a little indie platformer, that one's fun.
$20 on Steam right now.
$20. So yeah. It's neat. It's not like Limbo or Inside where it's environmental puzzles. It's more you're figuring out how to make the platforms yourself using shadows. And it's pretty neat. And then the other thing we played was a Star Wars Squadrons, which I believe two of you have played a little bit more than I have. So
yeah, we kind of threw it into our multiplayer queue because we played a ton of Apex Legends, right? It's not that we're sick of it. It's just like you need a break after a while, and it's kind of this is different, and it's nice and it's fun and
Tony's being nice. I'll go ahead and say it. Playing with some of you random people in Apex is torture.
It gets
some
frustrating. You guys very frustrating.
Suck. And I'm saying we're good, but at least we play as a team. Some of you guys go out there acting a damn fool thinking you're playing Halo or Counter-Strike or any of those other games that don't require team play. It's frustrating. I said my piece.
Anyway, so to get a break, we've been playing Squadrons.
Which is another game that requires team play.
Right, and mostly that's the only multiplayer mode I played is the AI fleet attack. So you're in a group of five players facing off against five AI players plus a bunch of AI spawned enemies and trying to destroy their large capital ship while they're also trying to destroy your capital ship. It feels a lot like, I guess Battlefield is kind of the closest, like where you're fighting over the points.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like that kind of back and forth battle. It's like it starts off you're in this confrontation between your five players and the five AI players. It's a fight to destroy their cruisers. Now they're fighting over your cruisers. And once you've breached the cruisers, you get to actually attack the capital ship, which is pretty cool, I think. Like, flying in there among all the turrets, like trying to find the weak spot is a pretty interesting process. Although I still have no idea where the weak spots on any of these capital ships are. I know Walt has found some, and I think you have too, Chris, but I'm in there. I'm just, all right, it's a turret. I know that's a turret. I'm going to shoot that. There's a little round circle thingy. We're going to aim at that.
Yeah, so when we were playing, I was able to target like certain parts of the ship, but I don't know how I did it. I wasn't able to replicate it again.
Well, if you tap L, go target different parts of the ship.
Yeah, it's just I have no idea what I'm targeting. I don't know, but I'll destroy whatever it is. I mean,
just, you know, I just know from building Lego sets that the Star Destroyers, the little bubbles on top are the shield generator.
Yeah, take out
so,
shields, yeah.
So aim for that. I don't know where the tractor beam is. It's underneath somewhere.
The tractor beam is underneath, yeah.
And then the other strategy we figured out on the fly is like, hey guys, X-Wings are like paper planes flying against these things. Let's make sure we switch the bombers.
Offense, like when you're on offense and attacking the capital ships, you want to run bombers. And then when you're on defense, you want something that's faster, so you want to run like an X-Wing or a TIE fighter or an A-Wing or an interceptor so that you can take down the bombers that are coming at you.
Yeah.
It takes like there is some strategy to it that like, generally you wouldn't get in a game like this, right? It's just like, oh, I'm an X-Wing and that's what I play as, or I'm assault, like in Battlefield, like I play assault. I don't play medic. Fuck medic.
Right.
But you kind of
have to mix it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I will say, even when you're defending your own ship, so you're in your best interest to be like an X-Wing or an interceptor, they do throw in that little ship.
Yeah,
to attack. So you do need like a bomber to fight that off.
Yeah, the Raider, which is like a mini Star
like a mini
Destroyer
cruiser or something. Yeah,
yeah. I will say this: we're playing multiplayer a lot with Tony. We usually talking shit between action. In this thing, like half the time, I'm like, "Hey, you guys still there?" Because we're all just concentrating
so focused.
So hard.
It's a more complicated game than a normal shooter, right? Because you have to kind of manage your ship systems. Like you have to manage one. You're tracking enemies because it's not like shoot, they're dead and you move on. You can take multiple shots and you're chasing them. You're dogfighting with them, and then just like every button on the controller seems to do something because they've taken the X-Wing and TIE Fighter kind of systems from those original games and they've translated them really well to a controller, but it's still a little bit more complicated than like a normal. It's not Rogue Squadron. Let's put it that way, right? It's not an arcade space sim. It's kind of in between both.
Which is great. Like I am not a flight sim person. I don't really enjoy them. This is fun. This is so fun. It's easy to get into. I love the power management, which could have been super complicated, but now you're just hitting different directions on the D-pad. It's like built really well.
Yeah.
Because you're switching between. Okay, I need to get to that Star Destroyer. Okay, so I'm gonna switch everything into speed, and then okay, I'm getting closer now. They're shooting at me, but I put my shields up. And then when you get there, all right, I'm going to switch everything into offense and see what I can do. It's just like that is cool. I like that whole process. It makes me feel like I'm out there flying, flying an actual X-Wing or whatever. It's
and
cool.
The cockpits are super detailed, and
they are. Yeah. In fact, you can turn off the HUD because the cockpit, everything in there is functional. Like you can see the power management in the cockpit without having to have the little indicators from the HUD.
And here's the other thing too: we haven't got into like the component buying to customize our ships to our use. We haven't even got into that. Like we've had points, but like I think the other day between matches, we were trying to figure out like, hey, should I mess with my engine? Should I accelerate better, but at the cost of my shields? You know what I mean? That like all that stuff is in there. You can customize your ship to however your play style you want. So it's like. It's such a tiered game that on the surface just feels like pew, 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 right? But there's so much stuff going on that, like, I don't know. I'm hoping they keep supporting it. I would love to see, like, this same mode, but us taking on the Death Star. You know what I mean? I would love to see stuff like that, but I'm not sure what's going to happen. I think Chris said they're not saying much support's coming down the road.
Yeah, they kind of said this was like a one and done type thing, and that's why it was like a $40 release, and which is another thing. It's this has been a good year for the return of like mid tier budget type games, like where you know, the actual price is less than a normal big tier AAA game.
Yeah.
I don't know. This has some content to it, like, you know, but for $40, it seems like a great deal.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though. And like, and I'm sorry to just jump in. I look at Twitch. I see how many people are actually watching these games being played. Like Squadron, the most someone was like the biggest viewer someone had streaming that was 107 people. So like, I'm not sure how long the multiplayer would stay alive. Wait, you know?
That's weird.
107,000
right now.
Like in general, like was it like 107?
Or 107,000. No,
107 people.
Yeah.
Like that. Oh wow. Okay.
So not so popular.
Not so popular. I'll double check right now. But that's what it was at the time that I looked. Like right now, like Fortnite, it's got 86K people playing it, like watching people play it.
It has 1.9
viewers. Yeah.
That's not so many.
That's not real good. Like that's the entire platform, right? Like let's see, like the highest person right now is 191 for what I can see on the page. One person has you know?
Just for comparison, Animal Crossing, which came out in March, 2.2. Monster Hunter World Iceborne, which came out last year, is 3.5.
I do wonder if it's...
Oh, but that's not... They just released their final creature. Like, I also
wonder if... Like,
okay, Hades is 2.4.
Do people watch Space Sims?
What's that?
Do people watch Space Sims? Like, that's...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. What's that one... Elite Dangerous. That's a monster. That thing is never going away.
Well, I think the other thing, and I could be wrong. I will be honest. I'm not. I think I said this last week. It's like I feel like this game came with no real fanfare, and it's so strange to say that for a new Star Wars title. Yeah. That theme is good.
It's good, right? That's the part that makes no sense to me. Like, where's the support for this title? Because it's good. People should play this game.
Yeah, like, I would love for them to do, like I said, if this game mode, and it's us lining up, like, our friends lining up, and we hear, you know, Admiral Akbar telling us to line up for an attack on a Death Star, I'm gonna lose my fucking mind. You know what I mean? How cool would that be? You know? And then, like, Darth Vader joins the mix, and we have to take him out or dodge him or something? Like, you know, I mean, come on, that'd be so damn dope. You know,
I'm in,
but like, yep. I'm shocked that they're not gonna have like, you know, more support. That's kind of disappointing to me. No,
I mean, yeah, and as you said, it doesn't seem like it's catching on, like at least with the viewership on Twitch and that stuff. So, there doesn't seem to be incentive for it to get post game support.
Look, right now it's got what 1.3, 1.9. Dark Souls 3, which is how old is Dark Souls at this point? It's got 1.2 on Twitch.
The one thing that I guess we can kind of, as long as they leave the servers up, we can always jump into that AI mode, though.
Yeah.
So
and we were playing on easy. It is hard.
Yeah,
it's a hard game.
That's the other thing.
That's when we started figuring out the whole plane switching, like quickly they ship. Switching is that we're giving the AI way too many points for dying, you know, trying to achieve the objectives and stuff. Like, man, I'm surprised because like how we have to coordinate, like we have to figure something out, you
right?
know what I mean?
We need to like hang out at the perimeter and all come in together or something.
Yeah, we need you know what we need, right? We need tags. Like rogue leader and all that stuff, we need tags. That's what we need.
You really want to be rogue leader, don't you? You really do.
No. Like,
don't tell me no. You do. I can hear it in your voice. You're saying no, but I'm hearing yes.
No, rogue leader is assigned to Luke Skywalker. I would never. Okay, I would take something like red one or red two. Okay.
All right, fine. I'll be red one, and you can be red two.
All right, I'll be red five.
He wants red one. See, he wants that.
No, two's better than one. Math, copy that.
Sure. Higher.
Is it better?
Yes.
He's making moral judgments. Come on. They're numbers. What did they do to you?
It's a fun game. I'm gonna play through the campaign. And
I definitely finished the campaign.
And then jump in, maybe try some of the dogfighting stuff.
Did you finally get a chance to try with the fly stick?
No, I'm gonna do that this weekend. I just gotta pull it out from underneath my TV and plug it in.
Yeah, I gotta try it out too.
It's also one of those. I have a friend that's playing it on PS4, and he said it's awkward, kind of like sitting on your couch with a flight stick. Yeah, I might need to find an alternative solution to be able to sit, with the flight desk on like a table or something.
Yeah. I imagine on PC, one of those honeycomb ones with all the switches in front would feel so freaking cool, you know?
Yeah, just being able to like, all right, so if I flip these, like these are my system switches, and
here's my be awesome. That'd be cool. Missile launches and all that stuff would be dope.
Yeah, so that is Star Wars Squadrons. We're having fun with it. But...
Yeah.
And then last week, we pushed it to this week. I was gonna talk about it last week, but Jeff wasn't on, and then Jeff decided he was watching football tonight, so he's still not here. But
by the way, the Bears are trying to make a kick right now, for the win or loss.
Oh,
1 minute left. Oh, so Jeff is watching this right now. All right, they made it. Now Tom Brady gets the ball back with a minute left to take Jeff's hopes and dreams away.
Likely to happen. Although I would find it funny if, because he's bad talks the Bears all the time. They're not great.
No.
But he does shit though, right? Them.
Aren't they defeated so far?
They're 3-1.
3-1. Yeah.
3-1.
He talks they're terrible, but they got a decent record right now. I guess.
Yeah.
He talks like they are the worst team in the league, and it's like they. If you've seen the Jets or the Giants.
Why do we have to name teams? You don't need to point fingers.
Anyway.
I'm going to point 0-4 fingers. Can I point that? Wait. Is that a number of fingers I can point?
Hey, Earl, you got two Dolphin fans and a Tampa Bay fan, all right? You're going to get some points, some fingers pointing here, buddy.
He's a New England fan. Let's.
But I also love Tom Brady.
He's a Tom Brady fan.
So you have two teams this year, and they're in different conferences. So you can
That's right. It's good. So they don't play each other.
Wait. I'm confused. You're telling me Tom Brady isn't a Hall of Fame Tampa Bay quarterback?
No. He's going in with that New England hat. Come on. He's got to.
I'm confused. I'm confused. That's a weird Madden roster move.
You know the worst part of it all? The absolute worst part of it all?
The Super Bowl is going to be New England and Tampa Bay?
No, the damn Buffalo Bills are 4-0. So I have to hear from my updates.
They're good.
I have to hear from my update friends about how they're the best team in New York right now, and it drives me nuts. Man.
Oh, Buffalo fans are the worst, dude. They're the worst, man, because they stay quiet, right? And all of a sudden, when they win, I've been here all along, guys. I told you, the code doesn't bother us. It's like, what's it got to do with your team? I don't care about the code.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of ball. They are better than, I'm sorry, Earl, they're better than Jets fans. anyway, Game Informer released their best games of the generation. It's 10 different categories that they kind of broke down. I thought we would take a poke at it, see if we agree with their picks.
Start from the bottom one.
Though. Yeah, I'm going to start from the bottom.
Yeah. start with the top tier.
Well, yeah, first, before you say anything, why is there no strategy game category?
There were some
epic strategy games this gen. Like,
no, I saw the game you're referring to in here. Hold on. I forgot where they put it under. I'll tell you right now.
These are weird categories, though.
They are. Like, they're so weird.
Fierce Competition is the one we're going to jump into first, and I guess they are like competitive games, like they don't really break down, games that they have included here are Overwatch, Apex Legends, Fortnite, Rocket League, and Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
One of them is a fighting game. Like, it's
I mean, they're all competitive games, I guess. Like,
yeah,
sure.
There's no rhyme or reason to it, but it,
like Rocket League, like really when it went free to play, it's a whole other level. Their base just expanded like crazy.
I mean, 60% of these games are free to play now. So
yeah. Yeah, and like Fortnite, like within Fortnite, they keep redefining the game and keeping people like hooked, you know. Overwatch, I can't believe Overwatch is still going. To be completely honest with you, I'm shocked that's still going. And Apex is just game of the year, you know.
Did Overwatch click for any of you guys? Like I thought it was Overwatch. Neat.
I had like one weekend I was really into it, but then it was just like the grind.
Right,
it's so real, dude. That's just I couldn't. You know what I mean? I couldn't.
I also got so sick of the payload. Like every mode was moving the payload. Move the payload.
Did they ever adjust that? I mean, we probably stopped playing. Earl might be the only one that knows. Did they ever add any other game modes that were
not payload?
Yeah.
I mean, it's essentially kind of like No, not the same Team Fortress 2. There are other modes. There is, like, I mean, basically, it's what you would expect in Deathmatch. So it's a payload, which is the big one, offense, defense. And then there's some where you, like, you hold a point, and whoever holds it, you know, if you hold,
like
you
have to
hold
King of the Hill type thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's one point, and then, but yeah, for the most part, it is offense, defense, which I always dislike, but I always dislike the fact that, because it's one or the other. Like it's like you play offense, then you switch to defense. You either play offense or you play defense, and that's it.
Which, not to derail and go back to Squadrons, but that's something that I thought was really neat in how they approach that game mode that we play, because you go from offense to defense, like based on how your team is doing, giving you options to. You know, you're not always attacking. You're not always playing defense. So there's a switch up to that.
Yeah. And then sometimes they'll do like arcade modes. Like they have like during the summer they had like the soccer mode where you use I forget the name the character's name, but the DJ guy who skates around and use his powers to like navigate a soccer ball across the field and score points. So, like they have fun stuff like that once in a while. They have free for all. Like Mai, who's the Eskimo woman. They had one that was her. So yeah, they do stuff like that, but for the most part, the actual core game is still very much situated in offense, defense, move the payload. And it's always so annoying because, like, again, I enjoy it. I'm not great at it, but, like, yeah, the fact that, like, one person on the payload or something can halt progress, even if, like, the other team has five people on it, it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's
also always felt. It's like there would be one team where everyone would be on the payload, and then the other team, they're just out there trying to kill people or running around, goofing off. It's
yeah, it reminds me of
The team I was on.
It reminds me of Halo. When I used to play Halo hardcore, like King of the Hill, you'd always have the people like me and my friends would always go for the hill, and everybody else is like, oh, this is a great time to get killed. Because everybody's going to rush to this point, so we're just going to do this thing and not, like, but you can kill 100 people. If you never touch the point, it does not matter for the actual game mode.
Yeah, it's like people don't understand objective game modes, so they just go and play team deathmatch, and it's like, you're actively hurting your team.
Yeah. The bright side, I will say, at least with Overwatch, is that they don't, I mean, they do keep track of. But like Halo used to have your kill death ratio, and I think Call of Duty, and they don't do that. So and they give you points for like killing, they give you points for, you know, being on the capture point, because I think that was always one of the things with a lot of these games. It's like nobody expected Halo because you didn't get as much recognition because you don't get kills really. You get a ton of assists and stuff like that. But yeah, I like the fact that they do give you like you could have created a game for Halo and Resident, and that has happened. So.
Is there anything here you guys would switch out? I think these are five decent choices. I mean, I don't love them all, and I think there are other games that I enjoyed more. But
right, but these would the ones you'd consider defining.
I wonder what qualified some. I think Fall Guys is worthy of a mention. People are having a lot of fun in mass.
Yeah, but I don't think that I don't necessarily think of it as a fierce competition in the same way. I think the because these are all kind of head to head games.
I don't know. I played it with friends, and we just curse up a storm, man.
it's not a competitive game. It's like you can. I mean, yeah. Like,
it's
you
a
could
different
be a
tone.
Infinite game, but you can't really screw somebody over.
it might be in another category. Like, let me double check. But Fall Guys was the only one that's like, that would have been. But I don't know if it qualified because
it also just came out, so it's like I don't.
The way magazine heat worked.
What's that other one? Among Us.
But Among Us, you got popular in the last month. That definitely would not have been before the magazine.
Is that a competition game or that? I think you would classify.
I mean, it is in a way, but I would also say Among Us is just a video game equivalent of Werewolf and Mafia and all these games.
Or for some of those older ones, like it's Clue, you figure out who the murderer is.
But yes, if I was to sit down and kind of like I guess jot down like the five multiplayer games that kind of define this generation, I can't think of any others that would fit this bill.
No, I genuinely agree with this. I think
it's a good list. It is weird. PUBG is not on there.
Fortnite is.
Yeah, I mean Fortnite has kind of eclipsed that. But
Fortnite just kind of like it defined, battle royale games going forward. That's just the reality of it,
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it's so similar to Fortnite that. Like you leave it off, but I mean, it has a giant player base.
Yeah, and what's that new one? Escape from, Fox. Help me out, guys. It's a Russian name. It's
hard for the PC. I know what you're talking about.
It's a super sim one. I'll fight it on Twitch. It's always
Valorant.
No. Valorant is like the new Riot game. Kind of take no. Yes, thank you. Escape from Takarov. Dr. Lupo plays it all the time, and he gets like something like 20k watching him play. Think of PUBG, but more hardcore, more realistic, and it actually works. It's not like a broken,
not broken like PUBG was.
Yes, so don't think of PUBG.
I think that's the opposite direction. I mean, that's the reason Fortnite overtook PUBG is that it's not realistic, and people can have fun with it, and it's goofy.
But a lot of people got tired of PUBG always being like, oh, we're going to improve, and never improved. And then this game hit the ground, and it's the best of both worlds, right? It's got like that Armor 3 kind of specs with like weapon, bullet drop off, and all that stuff. The gear collection of like, I want to say DayZ, but I'm not sure if that's the correct one. That kind of like zombie one, remember, it just drops you on a map randomly. You have to find whatever you can find. It's the same case with this. Like, I've watched a little bit of it. I would compare it more with like Rainbow Six in a battle royale. If that
makes
sense.
Interesting, yeah.
With like a huge emphasis on finding the right gear and working in a team.
The next category here, they have JRPG Journeys. We are maybe not the correct group to approach this as. Fire Emblem Three Houses. Dragon Quest XI, Echoes of an Elusive Age, Persona 5 Royale, Kingdom Hearts 3, and Final Fantasy VII Remake. Kingdom Hearts 3 seems maybe...
I didn't feel like people liked that game. And where is Final Fantasy 15 on this list?
Yeah, that's where...
I don't care about Final Fantasy 15. I'm here to
Earl has a bone to pick.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I know which one it is. I know what got left out. I know what he's upset. Tell him, Earl.
I'm just here to point out that my baby's not here. My Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
There you go.
It is by far. I mean, it's a great RPG. It has one of... I think the Xenoblade franchise has some of the best worlds in RPGs. A great combat system, some interesting characters. I know it's a bit fan servicey, but whatever. It's a great adventure. I think I'd put it above Fire Emblem. I feel like Kingdom Hearts 3 is on this list for the simple fact that Kingdom Hearts 3 exists more than anything.
Xenosaga should have replaced that for 100%.
Yeah, because I feel like people who were super anticipating Kingdom Hearts 3, like that game came out. And then people just stop talking about it.
Yep.
Like it's so you, it's what came out last year.
Came out last year.
But yeah, it like there was more talk about like, oh, when is Kingdom Hearts 3 coming out? When is Kingdom Hearts 3 coming out? Then there was talk about Kingdom Hearts 3 once it came out.
So, Earl would like to replace that with Xenoblade 2.
Yes.
What's the Switch game? I'm sorry. What's the Switch game? Oh, something Traveler.
Octopath Traveler. I really like that game. I don't know if it fits as top tier JRPG. It gets super repetitive.
Yeah, I can see that. But and also, just a side note, Dragon Quest IX is coming out on Game Pass very, very, very soon. For,
wait, 9?
11.
Yeah.
The one that's on this list, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
9 is a 3DS game.
My bad. No, 11 is getting released on PC and Xbox very soon. I'm trying to find a date for everyone.
I think it's December, actually.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's still around the corner, dude. The way the year's going, you know?
Yeah, it's not like it's within the next couple months, so it'll be here soon before the end of the year.
Okay, I think it's the sweet spot, right? When you kind of want something to play, you know, when you have all that extra time at the end of the year.
Yep.
Okay, Mindbenders. I'm assuming we don't really have a fighting best puzzle game to this generation.
I mean, this isn't a bad list, right? No. Like, Inside. Well, Box Boy, Box Girl, The Witness, Tetris Effect, and Return of the Oberdin. This is all over the place, though, because these are not the same type of games. So.
No, like I just assume like there's just like it's like this is just like we didn't want to say puzzle game, but these are different types of puzzles. It's like yeah, sure, whatever you go, you do you.
Yeah,
The Witness is trash though. Trash. Jeff's not like here to defend it. The guy who designed it needs to die in a fire. Die in a fire.
Well, I don't know if I want to light Jonathan Blow on fire, but Tetris Effect is great, and people on Xbox will be able to play it real soon.
Sweet, really?
November 10th, so the day the Series X comes out, it hits Game Pass.
Oh, I know what I'm trying on my Series X with. Tetris
Effect. Tetris
NBA 2K, got it. Yes, okay.
Look, it's great. It was my game of the year last year. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I don't remember. But yeah, it's fantastic title. So. Earl, you played Box Boy and Box Girl, right?
Well, I've not played Box Boy and Box Girl, but I do enjoy the franchise. It is a puzzle franchise. I think the first two or three games on the 3DS. They're a really cute game.
Nice.
But yeah, like I said, I feel like puzzle games aren't the thing people are gonna like fight about.
No,
like, I mean
I don't,
yeah.
Wholesome fun.
This is the not Nintendo category.
Animal Crossing: New Horizons, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Stardew Valley, Super Mario Odyssey, and Dreams.
I will say the one admission in this is, but it's two admissions for two different reasons. First one, I would say, I think it's Cuphead for both its style and its gameplay. I'm surprised that's not on this. The other one, I think, again, for very similar reasons but different style, is Luigi's Mansion 3. Just because I think.
Yeah.
So Cuphead's in a different category. It made the list for a different category. Should be here 100%. Luigi's Mansion should be here.
Maybe I've not read
it's weird. Super Mario Odyssey. Why is this on this list?
It's a great game.
It's a great game. I think it's a fantastic game. I love it. It's probably one of the best. It might be the best platformer of the gen. But it should be in a platformer category. Why isn't there one?
We'll get there. I think it belongs in a different category as well. But
yeah. It is a fantastic game, though. It is a fantastic
game. It's like they had to shoehorn it in somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, like I said, it's kind of like the Game Awards when they have a like family friendly game, and it's like, here's like the Nintendo games that came out because we have to recognize that they exist.
Old school charm, and this is where Cuphead shows up, Earl.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I did not read through this. Are games only in one category?
It seems like they only have in one, yeah.
So, I mean, they're game
they and if they're in the top tier, they don't need to be in any category.
I that would explain why. Yeah, it
seems to be that way, yeah.
That is backwards, but sure.
Yeah, it's like you would think top tier would pick from these games that are on the rest of the list, but
yeah,
they are by themselves. Yeah, I guess so. They kind of made these categories as separate.
I mean, this is essentially like we don't want to say indie games, but these are indie games.
Yeah, Hollow Knight, Celeste, Axiom Verge, Undertale, and Cuphead.
Although Hollow Knight and Cuphead, like it's hard to call them indie games where they're so fucking good, you know?
I mean
all these games are great,
yeah.
Axiom Verge is harder to say because it's originally a PS. Was it a PS4 or PS3 title origin?
PS4, I believe.
Okay, because it's like on the Vita, and I feel like, I guess it was just earlier in this generation. For some reason, I thought, because I knew it was talked about as a Wii U title.
It's listed as a Wii U title here, yeah.
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 These are kind of that. Here you went. I'm surprised they didn't find a way to put Shovel Knight here. But yeah, these are essentially like, these are the best indie games going, so.
To me, I would have thrown in Wasteland 3, because that does feel old school as hell. It feels, you know what I mean? It feels like the original Fallout still.
I do wonder if it's another one of those ones where
it came too late.
Yeah, yep. It came too late in the gen.
Yeah. You should probably read the first paragraph and see what qualified them, but whatever.
Probably.
Like any game releases for me.
We started at the bottom, so.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Okay. I'm going to throw out two that I'm surprised are not in the old school charm category. Yeah. Mega Man 12. No, Mega Man 11, I should say.
Yes.
And Sonic Mania.
Sonic Mania not being here is kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little monkey wrench. According to the introduction, as long as they're releasing the generation, they were considered.
Yeah, remember that the magazine probably already went to print before Wasteland 3, because this magazine, when it came out, had the review of Wasteland 3 in it. So.
They
probably didn't even consider it. Yeah.
I think that's a great game. Like, I keep telling Tony, like, it's just like that Crusader Kings 3. Like, I wish I had more time, because it's one of those games that you just want to, like, spend time with. You know what I mean? Not rush.
Yeah. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really don't get why Sonic Mania wouldn't exist. Like, you don't get more old school than a actual good Sonic game.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
or even the Messenger. That's practically the
game. Yeah, I would think exactly. Like to me the Messenger would be on here too.
Yeah.
Let's see. Open world. That's a rather easy enough category to understand. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Horizon Zero Dawn, Spider-Man, and Ghost of Tsushima.
So, okay, why did they pick the worst Assassin's Creed game from this generation? I'm just wondering.
You think it's the worst one? Like, I think Unity is worse than Syndicate.
Unity, once they fixed the graphic issues, was awesome. Syndicate, that world is boring. You can't tell any place in it from any other. It sucks. And there are Odyssey. Odyssey is fantastic.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't go with Odyssey or Origins.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to put it out
Odyssey
there.
Odyssey over Origins.
I know we're going with the top down if you're already, but it's so weird that Breath of the Wild does not make this list.
Why is remove Metal Gear Solid 5? It's not even this gen. I mean, look at the titles they have listed: PS3 and Xbox 360.
Well, it came out. It's weird because it did come out.
It's crushed then.
Yeah, it came out after, right? It wasn't a launch title for PS4 or Xbox One. It came out like later in the next year.
But that is a story-driven title. That I would not consider that to be open world like the other ones are.
It's story-driven in the fact that the first half has story, but that it's just kind of shit.
But it's weird that Breath of the Wild is not in this category.
Breath of the Wild should be in this category. It is awesome.
I know where it is.
It belongs here, but it doesn't belong there.
I think because it's not here, it allows Monstrosity, like Assassin's Creed Syndicate, to make it. Let's be honest.
Syndicate is okay. It's not the top Assassin's Creed of this generation.
Excuse me. No,
it does not have the best open world. It has the worst open world this generation.
No. Odyssey, even with all the grind Odyssey has, that's still the best Assassin's Creed they've released.
What were you going to say, Earl?
I was going to say, I get what they're going for by not having a key, but I feel like it diminishes the generation where it's like, okay, we're not going to have games that repeat, but then you can't have like these categories where it's like, one of the best or most defining games of this category isn't qualified to be in this category because it's elsewhere. And I don't know Breath of the Wild either. It's not my favorite Zelda game. But like, to say that that is not one of the most defining open world games of this generation,
it's such a weird
concept to me.
And if we're being honest here, if we're dropping Metal Gear Solid 5, right?
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't GTA make it in there? That's a better
open world. That's last gen for sure.
Yeah, that launched
it did come on
360 and PS3, and then they ported it over. I mean, they're gonna port it again.
But look at Metal Gear, right? PS3, 360.
I think that one actually launched this gen.
Yeah, that was cross gen though.
That's a technicality. It's still a better open world.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But based on their weird qualifications, I guess GTA 5 does not qualify.
Yeah.
Okay. Intense action. This is another category that's all over the place.
Yeah.
Uncharted 4, A Thief's End, Monster Hunter World, Control, Resident Evil 2, and Bloodborne.
What does this category even mean? They're like, we don't know what to put them in, so we're putting them in this category because we like these games.
Yeah,
they're all great games. There's not a game on this list that's bad. They're all awesome.
There's no thesis. I can't say, these are all great third-person games, I guess?
Here's the official description. For all of their achievements in other areas, certain games are at their best in the heat of the moment. Death-defying leaps, last-minute escapes, the final sword slashes. After that, you get a moment to rest before your momentum propels you to another intense situation. Though they can still have great characters and worlds, these are the games to play if you thrive in danger and triumph of survival.
Why is Monster Hunter in this category?
I was going to say, why is Uncharted in this category? Because
Uncharted does have those like scripted moments where you have to like.
Yeah, know. But it's not like intense. I have the Uncharted series.
Yeah.
One, I think 4 is kind of weak in it because they go way.
This isn't even the best Uncharted game this gen.
Yeah, so. That would. Be,
well,
but,
yeah, I will defend Monster Hunter when you're fighting one of those like. Mega monster thingies, and you're in a group, and you finally take it down, or you dodge something, you feel like I accomplished something.
Oh, no, you do, but it's not like there's no like moment of excitement where you're like, oh, let me plunge the axe in to save your life. I chopped off its head. Awesome. No, it's like, I hit it 80 damage. I hit it 90 damage. I'm right. I'm doing well. I hit it 50.
I go running, sharpen my sword.
I would have thrown in Doom instead of Control, in my personal opinion. Well, Doom
shows up on their first person.
Here's what I think happened. They were like, okay, we want to make this the best game of this generation. They had it as a 30. Like, okay, if we organize this by number, people are going to be mad at us. So this. Find categories and put all these games in it somehow.
That's exactly what it is. I think they were like, what are the 50 best games this gen? This is going to piss some people off. Let's just split them up into weird categories.
Because, does that make sense? Yeah. I think Doom should be here for intense. Like, that would make a lot more sense than Uncharted.
I argue Bloodborne should be higher on here. It should be like, it's one of those top five for the PlayStation 4.
I don't think these are in ranked order.
I know, but I'm saying like if I were to give people like, hey, I've never played a PlayStation 4 in my life, what are the five games I should play? Bloodborne would be in there because it showcases the whole Soul series and how it kind of like reinvented itself again for this generation. You know what I mean? It's going forward, and now people are like going back and cleaning up Demon's Souls because of what Bloodborne did. Like, it took off, dude. Like, it never stopped. You know?
Let's see. Well, it brings us to first person shooters. Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Destiny 2, Titanfall 2,
yeah,
Doom Eternal, and Half-Life Alyx.
That one seems weird.
I mean, yes, because we don't play VR, but it's one of the best reviewed games of the gen, so.
It's true.
Yeah.
Let the rest of us non-VR people play it.
First-person shooters that bad this generation?
No,
it does seem kind of a sad...
Where's Dishonored 2 in this? Dishonored 2 is very highly reviewed as well.
It's not a first-person shooter, though. It's more of a...
Are you sure?
I wouldn't classify a stealth action game
as... What about any of the Wolfenstein games? Those are fantastic shooters.
Yeah, I wonder... Well, I
I will just be honest with you. Titanfall 2 is here. I'm happy. Yeah. Titanfall 2 is probably one of my favorite first-person shooter campaigns of all time.
Where's Battlefield 1? I love that game. That game is fantastic. It's definitely the best Battlefield of this generation. Where is that?
I don't want to shit on Destiny 2, but I'm going to shit on Destiny 2.
You should. Shit all over it. Please.
I don't think it's that hot of a game. I'm sorry. Sorry, I don't think it's that hot of a game.
I prefer Destiny 1.
Yeah. I prefer Battlefield 1 to either of those games. So
sure.
Let's just forget Destiny and put Battlefield on this list.
I played the hell out of Battlefield, that's for sure, too. Yeah.
Okay, and this is probably a dumb question. Call of Duty Modern Warfare, is it the remake or is it the...
It's the latest game. It's not the remake, but the...
I know there's text above, but it's midnight. I'm not reading.
Yeah, it's the reboot. It's the one that came out last year. It's probably that's a good choice, I guess. I like Advanced Warfare. We played a bunch of that, which was the one with the exosuits.
Yeah, the jumping wall running. Yeah.
Which was a nice kind of contrast to Titanfall. I enjoyed Infinite Warfare for the campaign, but it doesn't make it here because nobody else did. So,
yeah. That Battlefield one, the Battle Royale Call of Duty didn't make the list either, from what I'm seeing.
Well, it's included in Modern Warfare. It's part of the Modern Warfare package. Warzone is one of the modes, and
I guess I'm surprised that in fierce competition. You know what I mean? Just that standalone, that free to play one. But okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is the free to like, but when you download Warzone, you're downloading the client for Modern Warfare.
Yeah, so
it's all part of that. It's not they're not considering it a standalone game, I guess.
Yeah.
I really like Halo 5 too, but
I forget it. It's so weird. Oh, yeah,
I forgot we had Halo 5. That's strange.
Lots of people have forgotten about it too.
Wait, what's Halo 5?
Yeah, exactly. and Master Chief Collection is a great collection. So
sure, but those are all games that are from other gens.
Yeah, they all launched previously. So.
Yeah, technicality.
It's not the same thing, but I'm surprised that wasn't a category. I do feel like we've gotten some, like they've become a part of the industry. A collection or best anthology or remastered.
Best remastered. Like Resident Evil will be up there. Resident Evil 2 was such a great remaster.
Yeah, Resident Evil 2 made it, right?
Yeah, it was in the action games.
Action games. I'm still like, keep up, well, the category.
I know there's no zombie category or, you know.
I'm saying if there's a remake category, Final Fantasy Remake, Resident Evil 2 should be there. Resident Evil 3 should be there. You know, they're great remakes.
Story-driven games, Her Story, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, What Remains of Edith Finch, Kentucky Route Zero, and Disco Elysium. This is another category that is just, it's everywhere.
I didn't play any of these. I hate to say
it. Yeah, I was about to say my big takeaway is Mary, I do not play story-driven video games. Which is not surprising, but...
But what does that even mean? Because, like, people would consider Uncharted 4 a story-driven video game, right?
It is.
Like,
it's yeah, just exactly. not the best that, story-driven video game.
And it's like walking simulator games, right? A lot of people think that. Yeah.
Like, Undertale is a better story-driven game than Hellblade, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I played three of these. What Remains of Edith Finch was really good. But it's a walking sim, so...
I mean, yeah. Hellblade is kind of a action game slash walking sim.
Yeah. All right, so now we're at the top tier, which none of these games were allowed to appear in any other categories.
But okay, I get that. But why were none of the other games allowed to appear in other categories?
I don't know. The Last of Us Part 2. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt,
fantastic.
Red Dead 2, like Zelda it. Breath of the Wild, and God of War.
Man, let me tell you right now, The Witcher 3, fantastic. I can't. Yeah. I already told Tony, we already own, just because we own it now, we're going to get a definitive edition that's coming in next gen. I'm going to replay it all over again with the new graphics and the new frame rates. I love The Witcher. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be worth playing again too, because I don't think we're going to see that many titles in the new year. So,
I still need to play that DLC.
That's my thing too. I played through the game twice. And the second time I got into the DLC a little bit, then stopped. So, one more time.
And now Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, I played it and I completed it. I really enjoyed the story. I know it's a flawed game, but I really enjoyed my time in that world. You know what I mean? And a lot of it felt very much alive, you know? And
as long as it was alive in the way that Rockstar wanted it to be alive, and not some fanciful way in which you tried to play the game in any other means but the way they wanted to play it.
Oh, yeah.
It felt alive, but not in a way that made me enjoy it.
I kind of gave myself into that world and their rules. You know what I mean? And I enjoyed it in that aspect. Any other approach, yes, it's fucking flawed. You know, I'm not arguing that. But I finished that game. I loved the story. I thought it was fucking... It's just great. It's such a well-written fucking Western, you know? And I really enjoyed it.
I wish I could have made it to where the story actually picked up. Like, it just takes so fucking long.
They just introduced so many mechanics in the first... 6, 7, 8 hours. You know what I mean? That is just hard, man. It was a hard investment. Finally make it through to the other breakpoint where the story and the gameplay and everything just kind of like, you know?
Yep. I remember when it came out and, you know, we were all talking about it and Jeff was telling me I was still in the tutorial and I was like 5 or 6 hours in. Like,
yeah.
No, like, I am not enjoying this
at all.
Final Fantasy 13 all over again.
But, like, hey, again, I made it through that, and I got invested. I liked the story. I felt like, you know, even though I really didn't, you don't really have a lot of control over the actions in that game, I still felt like I was on for the ride, and I was enjoying the Western, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. I mean, I think The Last of Us Part 2 is maybe a little bit overrated, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those games that... I think it's reflected in the assist, and I also think it's reflected. This is why, one, I wouldn't have done this just while the gen's still going on. Like, if you're doing Game of the Year, I prefer to do it in January or February, where you've had time to actually digest and marinate, like you said.
Yep.
So to do this for a game, like, The Last of Us 2 would have been, 2 months when they did this assist? It's freshening people's mind. We're like, oh, we have it. Give it time to digest and marinate and see if you actually still like it in the year or so. This isn't necessarily the best barometer, but I always look at it in the fashion that, like, nobody talks about this game anymore. Like, it has like this immediate impact, and then it seems like it really did not leave any impression on people beyond that.
Yeah. God of War is fantastic though.
It's a great game. I think there are other games other PS4 exclusive games that are better.
I would have flopped. I would have put Horizon.
Horizon, here. I would have definitely put here. Like, either I look at this list of games, I'm like, I would have put one of these games on my top five list.
Don't think I would put any of them on my top five list, but I would easily make the. I could easily see the case for Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Right. I could see. Yeah. That's the only other one.
I can put The Witcher 3, Breath of the Wild, and God of War on my list.
Even God of War, even as somebody who has a God of War PS4 Pro, like even that year, I thought Spider-Man was a better game.
Yeah.
That's Spider-Man was not on here, was it?
Not at all.
No, it's an open world. Right?
It was an open world. Yeah.
Yeah.
But my thing is, like, to me, like, I played all the God. I got a platinum for a God of War remaster, right? For me, what this changed is they finally humanized this kind of caricature of a fucking anti-hero.
I thought it was really great what they did with Kratos, but I'm going to be 110 for. I prefer the combat of the other game.
I think you really had to adjust
specifically the bosses in the other games.
Like, yeah,
this was missing those giant, like, awesome, epic boss fights.
There was one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, that dragon. We're thinking about the same thing.
Yeah,
but it's the only other one that when you're not fighting a dude,
right?
Yeah,
like it's a dude. Dragon. He's a god, so it's hard to kill him. But it's still a dude. Come on.
Right.
Yeah, that dragon point where at the end he just kind of walks and turns his back and it lands with his mouth open right next to him. With the music flares and it just vanishes. Fantastic moment. That was just a cool gaming moment for me.
I love the game, but I agree with Earl. I think, you know, you look at, like, Spider-Man came out that same year, was a better game. Yes,
it was.
Like, the open world is better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think the open world was actually that interesting in God of War. Like, no. Honestly speaking, I think God of War's big thing is both its blessing and its curse. It's pretty much I'm not going to say this with words. It is pretty much a PlayStation. It's pretty much a Sony first-person title.
Yep.
First-party title. And that they've kind of created this mold and, like, everything's going to make this cinematic action game. And it's like, it works for some games and it works for God of War. But when you compare it to the other games that came before it, I think those are much, as a player, I find those much more engaging. Mm-hmm. If you found a way to give me the combat of the first three with the actual story and me liking Kratos that they had in this one, I'd be golden. But this one, it's like, I enjoy Kratos, but I don't enjoy playing the game as much.
Yeah. Like, but I think what I liked, right? The other one, it was like, you were this small figure in this kind of like giant world. And in this one, you're a forgotten figure in this new world. So they kind of brought it down. You know what I mean? They grounded it more so that you can experience it with him. So I, like, in my sense, I love that. I love that it was grounded. It was just a father and his son on this journey with, like, all kinds of weird shit happening around him, you know?
Oh, no. And again, like I said, I get it. If I could get the story, if I could get that relationship in a game that actually had combat that I enjoy, I'd be golden.
It's funny because spoilers for God of War, but eventually you get the chains, and it's like, this is awesome. This is what I wanted.
Yeah. It opens up. Yeah. Actually, that game, a New Game Plus, like, if you're ready to beat it, like, try out New Game Plus, like, it feels so fucking satisfying to start that game with the chains, with the Blades of Chaos.
When you start New Game Plus, can you kill the kid?
You can't kill the kid.
Damn it.
You mean boy?
Boy, exactly.
I kind of have a feeling, spoiler alert, Loki's going to have a big deal, be a big part in the next one.
Yeah.
As long as I don't have to cart him around with me and he gets to be sassy and I don't get to kill him, like, then fine.
Well, I mean, if you know Norse mythology, like, what brings on, you know, the Ragnarok?
Right. I'm just hoping I'm still not protecting him and he becomes the villain.
I heard it was the Hulk.
It was the Hulk. Yeah.
Could be it, yeah.
It's more.
But yeah, again, it's not necessarily. But I imagine there were a lot of people who'd rather put Bloodborne up here than God of War, if you're going to change out a PlayStation 4 exclusive.
Yeah, like I personally feel like Bloodborne is such a showcase piece for that console, you know, that stay truly exclusive, you know. Like I'm telling you, when I think it's upscaled, 60 frames and just the HDR, you know, that the PlayStation 5 is going to be able to automatically do, that game's going to feel fresh. It's going to feel like it was made for that, you know.
So I guess that's it. It's fine. This list is fine.
But and I think, and I mean, this is my personal stance. I've said this before, though. I think that this some of this generation, it was fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But like, I look at this list, and I'm like, oh, there were some good games. There's some great games. But I feel like it's hard to be like, oh man, like this game's missing, that game's missing, because I don't feel like an overwhelming sense like there's like these like 15 mythical amazing games that aren't on this list. It's just like, oh, I wouldn't include that game. I wouldn't include that game. But I'm sitting here thinking, like, what would I replace them with?
Well, what I took away from this generation, personally, was that the connectivity, right? Finally, kind of like felt sustainable, right? Where like I could do something like I'm playing multiple seasons of one game with Tony every single night. You know what I mean? And it's not really getting old, right? Like that connectivity is finally realized. The Xbox Live experience, you know, is finally realized with a game that progresses and rewards you and keeps you hooked in. The single player story stuff, like it reached a whole new level, you know, with certain games, you know, it all depends on how you want to digest them.
And I think ultimately that might have been my beef with this generation with the single player story is like, we've kind of figured out a formula and we've not veered from it. Like there's no more experimenting to see what works and what doesn't work. It's just that, like, oh, we're going to give you like the cinematic action game.
Yep.
And that's what everybody wants.
You saw that even with, it was a continuation from last gen, but you saw that even with like adventure games, like Telltale kind of came up with a template and that's how you do narrative adventure games now. Right. Like,
That's
Life is Strange is basically just a Telltale game done by a different company.
Yeah, because I mean, it's pretty much you do if you want to do like a hardcore action game, it's going to be in the Soulborne brand. If you're going to do a straight up action game, a lot of them are just going to be Arkham copies. If you're doing anything else, it's just going to be like cinematics where like the combat, the actual gameplay doesn't matter. It's like how well are you telling the story, how pretty are your graphics. Which is why one of the reasons Titanfall 2 stands out to me as far as single-player content goes this gen, was because it was one of those old-school, we're going to throw everything to the wall, and it might not stick, but we're going to do it for everyone, and we're going to move on. It's one of the reasons why, like Breath of the Wild stands out, because it does a lot of that is just the story is driven by the environment and the world around it. But my big takeaway, and I think I said this on Twitter, my big takeaway from this generation is to kind of Walt's point, it's going to be the fact that not just connectivity, it's like this whole, like we broke down the barriers. It's no longer like, oh, I have a PlayStation, you have an Xbox, we can't play together. Like, it's going to be harder and harder for games to come out and not have cross-play, cross-save, and cross-progression across different devices.
Because, I mean, the competition to keep us connected and invested, you know, it's getting these free-to-play games are, you know, for what it's worth, like Fortnite and stuff, like they keep these kids coming back because they reward them time and time again. They keep buying into the battle passes. You know what I mean? And you have to do something to compete to an extent, you know? And I think crossplay is an easy win for that. Cross save is another one too. It's just the ability that just whoever owns it should be able to play it no matter what platform. That should be a focus going forward. Because if this generation was like, let's just figure out how we can get you connected in a way that makes sense, you know, so you can keep coming back to the same game instead of buying Madden year after year. You know what I mean?
Well, they want you to buy Madden year after year.
Yeah, like
what's wrong with that?
I mean, there's issues for me personally, but like, if Apex had that, if Apex had that release window too, Apex 1, Apex 2, 3, 4, 5, you know what I mean, going forward?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have bought into it the way I did, because we skipped a lot of seasons before it finally got good, you know?
Yeah, I've asked this question before of sports fans. It's like, why don't sports fans want them to adapt that model where it's like, instead of buying whole new games every year, you just buy
I think they do. I think that sports fans would be open to it. It's just that you know, the leagues want that new game because they want that revenue every year.
The leagues signed a contract when they released the Players Association license and everything. It's they signed a contract for X amount of delivered product. That doesn't mean copies sold. I'm talking about if they sign for 5 years, they expect 5 games. You know, so they can't just change the model because everything's like negotiated down to the T. You know, like if they could, I would imagine the NFL 2K games would have had a return into the fold. You know, like EA NBA Live, I believe it's dead now, right? They finally said it's not coming back to franchise NBA Live.
Please let that be true.
No, I think they're reworking it again.
Yeah, but again, they signed. That's the way they sign it away. They don't just sign a fee, right? It's just like Joe Montana football. They couldn't get if I remember correctly, they couldn't get the Players Association signed on, right? Do you guys recall that
for Joe Montana football? I believe I don't think it was the NFLPA they couldn't get signed on. I think they couldn't get the actual NFL signed on originally. So it was just Kansas City, Miami, and then
it was something like that. It was some weird thing. They couldn't get a sign off, right?
Because then the second Joe Montana football was actually Joe Montana NFL football, or NFL 95 Joe Montana football, or something like that. So
yeah, but. That's just the way they sign it. Because remember, they're signing X revenue that goes back into the Player Association, into the NFL, blah 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 per year. So they're not just gonna be like, "Hey guys, we're gonna make Madden football." Okay, how many of them? One, and we're gonna sell season passes.
Right.
I don't think they'll sell.
Because that'll be a hard sell. Because the NFL is gonna go. Show me the data that says you're gonna hold that revenue, each year, and their data actually shows that like diminishing returns in each successive DLC pack.
Yeah, and plus it's the NFL, dude. They count jersey sales, they count hot dog sales, they count Madden sales. You know, per unit, they're not gonna go like digital. Season pass. It's a hard sell, man. It's a lot of old heads you have to convince for new ways to get that.
Yeah, but I mean, the flip side of that, I guess, is like you could still make the same amount of money because you're not investing as much into creating a new game and sending like marketing and, you know, printing discs if you're just doing we're going to charge you $30 for a roster update.
Dude, you have to convince me, right?
If I was at EA and
I had pool, I would walk into a meeting and I'd be like, all right, I might just commit career suicide. What's your idea? Well, I'll be like, Madden free to play, and we just sell season passes with roster and features per season.
And who wants Walt's desk? Who wants
and
it?
Then, and yeah, they'll kick me out. They'll be like, are you serious? I was like, everyone in the world should be able to play Madden to an extent. We just have different tier modes for people who invest into it. With ranking systems that are hidden behind battle, you know, behind season passes, like you just map it the fuck out, and people will buy it in droves, dude. Because at least it's like, oh, do you want to play Madden this year? Hell yeah, why not? The season pass has this new feature. You know what I mean? It's less of a sale of like, oh, what's new about Madden? It'd be like, why not try Madden? You know what I mean?
But it's also funny because it's like. What's new about Madden? And the same people that are always asking what's new about Madden are still the same people that buy it every year. So,
yeah, I mean it's the same fight with like, oh, Pokemon's the same game every year. You know that because you buy every Pokemon game.
Yep, exactly.
think of it this way, right? If the last four Maddens, okay, take away individual releases, and instead think of it as like one free entry point with season purchases for all the features that were introduced in the last 4 years, that makes more sense. That feels like a game that's constantly developing instead of like, oh, they're just holding off to add a feature next year.
Yep.
But that would be like my, but that I know would get me fired, and I'd be doing like EA mobile game stuff. They would kick me off of Madden.
You'd be on the EA mobile version of Madden.
They'll put me on like, oh yeah, hey, yeah, well, you've been redesigned. You have great ideas. Go take care of Tetris on mobile for us, please. I'd be like, what? There's nothing to take care of there. It's Tetris on mobile.
Implement your season pass there.
Yeah, go figure out season pass for that there, genius. All right?
It's just Tetris.
But that's what it would be, because like that, you want to do something radical for it, right? There's no competition. Might as well monopolize the fucking thing. And make it the only freaking way to play football all over the world. And guess what? It's free to get into it. You know? But if you want the latest roster moves, you want this and that, and all that other stuff that the hardcores are really, really into, then buy in. And maybe, just maybe, I don't know what the percentage would be, 2% on what? 20 million downloads. That's pretty damn good. 2% of people who would like buy in as casual and get really sucked into the community. That's a pretty good return.
I guess we'd have to crack into EA and the NFL's books to really see what's going on there.
That's just my idea. I think free-to-play shouldn't be a bad word. I think
it's a great
entry point, as long as it's not like a money grab situation. As long as it makes sense for people who get into the game and want to do a minimal kind of like, that's a, like me and Tony, right? Apex, like, it is $10. Let's try that. What the fuck not? Haven't spent a dime since $10. We earned it all through the season.
Yeah, that seems to be the hook that they place. I had the same thing told to me with Fortnite, where it's like, yeah. If you do, like, pay it once and like, you earn enough every season, which is true. Yeah. I have enough for the next two seasons already in this season.
Yeah, but you see, that's not a bad thing, because then
it's not a bad thing. We just kind of teach you the ecosystem.
We don't buy the skins, but there's people out there who do, right? That adds to it. It'd be the same with football, right? Like, you don't buy into the game, but you buy the season pass. Like, man, fuck, I really, really want the 1972 Dolphin uniform. Let me put $2 for it now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So the difference between where Apex and Fortnite, I think, work is, you know, they're online competitive games, and you know, Madden has that, but a lot of people just buy it because they just want to play the franchise. So you and Tony and Earl playing those games and earning your points, you are capital for them because you're keeping the player base up. So the whales that are coming in and buying those skins, they're like, you're basically there to support them paying money.
Well, here's my other caveat, and I'll end it after this, and I'll let everyone at home be like, damn, but Walt needs to get this job at EA, fix Madden for us. You know, fantasy football is a giant thing across America, right?
Yeah.
Free to play Madden football, just have a fantasy side of it. Pay a little extra to have everyone do an actual draft, right? Over their fucking Xboxes with voice chat and everything, where they're drafting players and you're seeing it on a board. And then Madden grab shit from ESPN or whatever, right? And updates your stuff in real time. So that Sunday you're watching your game and you're on your app, or you turn on your console and you're seeing how your team's doing because you have real time stats. And then you're seeing your league develop in real time through Madden Fantasy.
I am surprised that they haven't added some sort of fantasy component to Madden yet.
Add a like a GM fee for running a fantasy league, right? And you're done. You know, I mean, obviously people are still going to bet on the side. You're not going to do it through Xbox, right? But maybe give them like a a fake trophy that you can display in your profile.
Sure. You know like, what I mean? Like ESPN or Yahoo Sports or like when you know,
your little league there. And have your own icon. Hey, who won, who did good in your fantasy league in 2002? Oh, this guy did because look, he's got that trophy in his case or whatever the fuck, you know? And that's how it'd be the game. All of a sudden, people stop questioning the yearly release and instead they're like looking forward for the season release, you know?
Yep.
I did it. I solved it. You're welcome, Tony. I solved the Madden problem.
I'm going to have it every year anyway.
Yeah. And there will be people who want that. Like, offer, like, maybe that's the alternative. It's like you do, like, you could release it every year. But it's like you buy Madden X, and like every year you could give them $30 and it's a roster refresh and it's a massive patch or something like that. Or if you want to buy it every year, they'll release, like, Madden 2023, and you can get that for $60.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably lots of ways that Madden and NBA 2K and NHL and FIFA could improve.
The only reason I bring this up, and I to be honest, I've not asked this in a while. I asked this, I think, a year or two ago on Twitter. I'm like, why, like, would sports fans and a lot of sports fans were just not receptive to the idea that, like, oh, these games change so much in between each entry, you'd miss out on those changes. And I think of it as a fan of a wrestling game. And the fact that, like, no, you don't, because, one, a lot of those changes that they make year to year, they ditch because they don't really have time to refine it the next year. They're moving on to a new project. But all you really get in most of the time is a roster refresh and maybe with professional wrestling and I guess some sports, you get new rules. It's like outside of that, it's like, yeah, I'm just paying you $60 a year to get new characters.
Yep. New characters that sometimes look better and sometimes don't.
Sometimes they don't, yeah.
Although Tony's examples of Madden's achievements this year have been fantastic. I've never seen.
I mean,
the invisible lineman was, I mean, I like having that extra guy off the line. It's really easy to block, man. Now.
That blizzard mode where it was all white, that was terrifying. I wouldn't play football in that.
It's amazing. And it's like such a flash blizzard, and it can happen anywhere, even inside.
Yeah, it's insane. Never. You know, climbing
change. Sometimes you can't hear it because the sound just disappears, too.
My God. See that right there? Like that right there, that product, I would be like, what do you got to lose? Look at this product. Come on, man. You know, let's pitch it to the NFL and see what happens. Let's call all men Madden and see what he thinks about it. Madden's still alive?
Give a shit. He is still alive, yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. I didn't want to be disrespectful because he's
opposite. Yeah, at this point, I think he's kind of like, you know, I mean, Tom Clancy did die at some point, but I think he's kind of like that, where he just sold his name off. Yeah, they do whatever they want with it.
Just get a check every year or whatever.
Yeah. His kids will live great in his giant RV.
Yeah, it's like, I gotta pay for school. Okay, hold on, let me go cash a Rainbow Six check. You know?
But, alright, well, that was fun. Talking about
for no news, we still somehow made it 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Damn it. My bad. That's my fault.
It's a 3-day weekend for me, so I am.
Well, enjoy your 3-day weekend. I don't know if there's. I don't have anything new coming out next week, at least.
I mean, well, no, none of us are Smash Brothers fans. I was going to say that.
Steve comes out.
Yes.
Woo, Steve!
Actually, wait. Did Jeff play that? I was going to say, because we've not talked about Crash 4, right?
We have not talked about Crash 4. I don't think Jeff got it yet.
The Pikmin demo, you can officially talk about it. It's out.
Yeah. It's true, yeah.
I downloaded it. I will play it.
Jeff did play that, so we'll have that next week.
There's another embargo for the Series X dropping this week. I think you're finally going to see the UI in action completely. The embargo is lifting completely.
Nice.
I'm not mistaken. I thought we saw the embargo. I mean, I thought we saw the UI, but I guess not.
No, just they only dropped the SSD and the speed in the store, but the UI embargo is, from my understanding, is lifting next week. I guess Justine kind of shared the notes with me. Now she was supposed to, but they it's a whole every week leading into or every 2 weeks, I forget what the window is, leading into the release, they're going to say more and more what the new Xbox experience is.
Depending on how I feel, I might get drunk and do this. The G.I. Joe Operation Blackout comes out next week.
I thought it was out already.
No, it's out next week, and then I think the 2 weeks after that, they do the Cobra Kai game.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
So,
what is it called? Operation Blackout?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
There's finally some gameplay footage. I'm going to watch it today. Like, I'm not expecting anything great from this game. Honestly speaking, I was looking to see if I could get a review copy, but I'm not going to. I don't want to associate myself with a company called Game Mill. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. October 13th. October 13th is official release.
All right. So maybe we see how that comes out.
Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. We'll see.
So yeah, we'll be back next week. Earl, say goodnight.
And farewell.